Several years ago, my friend, Brother Ralph Barnard, said to me, "Henry, God's preachers must and should preach for verdict. Like the judge says to the jury, ladies and gentlemen, have you reached a verdict? Do you have an opinion?" Preaching is not debating. I hear people debating the Church of Christ and other denominations. I'm not a debater, I'm a proclaimer of truth. Preaching is not a lecture on theology. Preaching is the proclamation of God's truth. Our Lord said, "The Spirit of God is upon me. He has sent me to," what? Argue, debate, quarrel, to proclaim the gospel of His grace to sinners. That's what God called us to do. And God's advocate, thank God we have an advocate, but He deals only in truth. Are you guilty? Are you not guilty? That's what I'm talking about tonight. Preaching for a verdict. Are you guilty of sin? Are you not guilty of sin against God? Do you sincerely believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do you call Him a liar? No middle ground. Christ said, "He that's not with me is against me." Are you with the Master? Or are you against Him? Paul said to King Agrippa, "Agrippa, the death of Jesus Christ was not done in a corner. It wasn't performed in a remote place. These things are not hidden from you. What say you?" Come on. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. And verse 21. 1 Kings 18, verse 21. "And Elijah came unto all the people, and he said, How long? How long halt ye between two thoughts, two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. If Baal be God, follow him." And the people, what'd they do? Didn't answer a word. Not a word. Not a word. They answered not a word. Well, I'll tell you, they answered, they said Baal. With their silence, and their refusal to be committed to God, they were following Baal. In regard to religion, in regard to life and death, most men and women in this generation pretend to have this opinion about four things. Here's the fourth thing. They think there's a God. They think there's a God. Oh, they may call Him the man upstairs, and may call Him somebody up there likes me. And John Wayne said one time, well, he or she or whoever it is, that they think there's a God. How long halt ye between two things, thinking, opinion? The second thing, The people of this generation think there's life after death. They do. They think so. Every obituary that I read in our Virginia paper starts out this way. So-and-so died, and he's with the Lord. I looked over one day, every single one of them said that. He's with the Lord. It's life after death. That's what they think. And most people think that judgment, some kind of judgment, and eternity follows death. They say, well, it's appointed unto me and wants to die, and after that, the judgment. They agree with that. And most of them think that they need some kind of refuge in the event that these things take place. They think there's a God. They think there's life after death. They think there's going to be a judgment and eternity. And they've got to have some kind of refuge. They've got to have some reason for a hope of eternal life. And many, Christ said, will say unto me in that day, Lord, have we not preached in your name? Have we not cast out devils in your name? Have we not done many wonderful works in your name? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. I want you to listen to the prophet Isaiah. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28. I want you to listen to these two verses. Isaiah 28, verse 14 and 15. I believe Isaiah speaking to people on that day, and he's speaking to folks on this day, in this day, because they have the same. How long halt ye between two opinions? Answered not a word. All right, watch this. Isaiah 28, 14. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, that rule this people which is in Jerusalem, because you've said, you think, we have a covenant with death. We're not afraid of death. Let it come. We have a covenant, that word hell is the grave. They don't know anything about hell. They do know something about the grave. We have a covenant with death and the grave. We are in accord. We are in accord. We are in agreement with the grave. It's all right. It's all right. So-and-so died. He's with the Lord. It's all right. And when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, when God comes to this earth and judges these people, the overflowing scourge shall pass through. It won't come to us. It won't come to us. Why? But we have a refuge. We have a hope. We have made lies our refuge. And under falsehood have we hid ourselves. And I have five refuges that these people hide in. I hope nobody here is hiding in any of these. That there's some refuges. We have a refuge. Yep. We're not afraid of death. With the grave, we're in agreement. When the overflowing scourge and judgment of God comes through, it won't touch me. I've got a hope. I've got a refuge. It's a refuge of lies, God said, but I've got a refuge. All right, here they are. Five of them. Number one, this false refuge is a wrong opinion of ourselves. The Pharisees said to our Lord, we be not sinners. We be not sinners. One of them said, Lord, he said, I thank you. I'm not like other men. Well, my friends, I am like other men. And you are like other men. Christ Jesus came into the world to save one type of people. sinners. And that's what we are, all sinners. And this generation has a wrong opinion about themselves. We be not sinners. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Listen to this. Romans the 3rd chapter, verse 10. It's our obituary. No, it's our biography. That's what it is. It's our biography. In Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Romans 3, verse 10. This is our biography. As it's written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they've used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. And their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way. And the way of peace they have not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. And here's the summary. Now we know. Here's the right opinion. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty. 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 Guilty before God. My friends, you'll never be found till you're lost. The Lord came into the world to save that which is lost. You'll never be clothed with that righteous garment, that white robe, unless you're naked, stripped naked, naked in the sight of Him with whom we have to do. A wrong opinion of ourselves. Secondly, the second false refuge is a wrong idea about the love of God. The popular teaching today, this is it, the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. And this teaching of the fatherhood of God has led men to believe that every son of Adam is a son of God. Every son of Adam is an object of God's love. And that is not so. Every man is not an object of God's love. No, sir. That's right. It's just not so. And this teaching that God loves everybody, this teaching is three things that we've got to deal with. Number one, this teaching encourages people to continue in their rebellion against God. For they say, God, smile, God loves you. Smile, God loves you. Well, if God loves me, I don't have to be afraid of God. But Noah moved with fear. Noah moved with fear. When God appeared to Noah, he moved with fear. What kind of fear? Fear of the Lord. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Come, my children, I'll teach you something. The fear of the Lord. Secondly, this universal love of God encourages men to ignore Christ. If God loves me outside of Christ, I don't need Christ. Isn't that true? If God loves me outside of Christ, I don't need Christ. Who needs Christ? People who are under the judgment of God because of sin. Thirdly, this universal love of God brings God's character up for question. What's our nature? What are we? We're evil. We're sinners. Does God love evil? No, He doesn't. God doesn't love evil. He said in Ephesians 2, at that time, you were without Christ, strangers from the covenant of promise. You had no hope. And without God in this world, and if you're without God, you're without Christ. And you're without Christ, you're without the love of God. The wrath of God is upon the wicked. God's angry with the wicked. The love of God is in Christ. That's where it is. The love of God is in Christ Jesus. He said in John 3, listen, he that believeth on the Son hath eternal life. He that believeth not on the Son shall not see life. The wrath of God abideth on him. The wrath of God doesn't abide on the same people. It abides on evil people. He put a difference between Israel and Egypt. There's a difference. God's love is in Christ. You love Christ, you're in the love of God. You believe Christ, you're in the love of God. That's true. Thirdly, another false refuge is this. Another false refuge is a profession of religion that does not demand obedience. That's false refuge. Any profession of religion, any hope of eternal life that does not demand obedience and discipleship is a false refuge. Now this is today's popular Christianity. I know this and you do too. People profess to believe the Bible and then they make a profession of faith. And then they attend church. They join a church and attend church occasionally. And they observe the regular religious holidays, holy days, Christmas, and they sing Christmas carols and give gifts, and Easter and all these different holy days. But there's no particular sacrifice. There's no devotion to God. There's no consecration. There's no love for God. There's no love for His Word. There's no love for Christ. There's no love for others. There's no giving. No bearing and forbearing. There's no forgiveness. There's no faith. There's no godliness. So there's no refuge. Turn to James chapter 2. Listen to James here in James chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. Verse 19 and 20. James chapter 2. Thou believest there's one God? That's what we've been talking about. You think there's one God? You do well. The devil believes there's one God and trembles. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that a faith without works is dead? A faith that doesn't obey God, love God, love God's people, love God's word, love God's way, love God's truth. That's a faith. That faith is dead. Like we used to go hunting quail, you know, and shoot one and the dogs would start trembling, running, and we'd say to the dogs, dead bird. And that kind of faith is dead. You don't need to run pick that bird up. He's dead. Fourthly, here's another false refuge. False opinion of ourselves. And this fatherhood of God, God loves everybody. And a religion, a profession of religion that does not lead to obedience and discipleship is false. And here's the fourth one. That is an old experience that stays old. A fella said to me one time, I'm saved. I was there when it happened. Is that the last account you had? I was there when it happened. That's the last time I thought about it, talked about it, said anything about it. But Here it is. Todd told us to a while ago. Repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. And Paul said, that's my whole message. Repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance and faith. Repentance toward God and faith in Christ is not, I repeat, is not a once for all experience. It is not. It is not. Repentance toward God and faith in Christ is not a once for all experience and decision. Repentance and faith is a continuing state. I have been saved. I am being saved, and my salvation is nearer than what I believe. That's right. That's right. Peter said that. It's a growth in grace. A person comes to know Christ. The Lord talks about babes in Christ, young men in Christ, and fathers in Christ. There's a growth in grace. It's a continuous state. Keep on repenting. Keep on believing. Keep on coming to Christ. Turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Now listen to this. Here's what I'm saying. A false profession, a refuge of lies, is an old experience that stays old. Stays old. Here's 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 4, listen, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, great and precious promises, that by these you might be a partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, partake of a new nature, having escaped the corruptions in the world. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound in you, they make you that you shall not be barren, idle, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. An old experience that stays old is dead. Anything that's alive grows. This pulpit is dead. And it'll never change. This man is not dead. He's alive. That's right. All right, here's the fifth false refuge. Another false refuge is tomorrow. Tomorrow. What a pitfall is tomorrow. Let me show you something. Acts 24. Acts chapter 24. Acts 24, verse 24. And listen to him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, she was a Jewish woman, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. Can't you just imagine that old ruler standing there, his knees knocking together and his arms shaking? He trembled. Paul, this is one of the greatest preachers ever lived. Man sent by God to preach the gospel. And this old ruler was there before him, and he's shaking. He trembled. And he said, go your way, Paul. Not forever, for a little while. Wait till tomorrow. tomorrow. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. He never did. Tomorrow. Felix trembled. It was real. That's a real sermon he was hearing. Oh, what a sermon. Child of God witnessing to him about the eternal mercy of God. He trembled. And he was impressed. But he said, tomorrow, I'm going to do something about this tomorrow. But God said, boast not yourself of tomorrow. You don't know what a day will bring forth. You just don't know. A wise old preacher once said this. Listen to it now. Some of these old guys can't think up some good things. He said, every person, at least, should repent and believe the gospel the day before he dies. And some scoffer looked at him and said, that's foolish. No man knows the day of his death. Could be tomorrow. And the old preacher said, well, my friend, if you plan on dying tomorrow, you better repent today. You better repent today. You better lay hold of Christ today. Because God Almighty said, don't you boast about tomorrow. You have today. You don't have tomorrow. You just don't have tomorrow. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. That's the reason we preachers need to preach for a verdict. We got people dying. We got people out on the highways in danger of death. We got to urge and repent. Believe the gospel. Lay hold of the gospel. Now is accepted time. This is the day of salvation. This right now is the day of salvation. Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 24. Listen. The Lord says, because I have called and you refused, I stretched out my hand, no man regarded. They answered him not a word. Well, you said it not my counsel, all my counsel, and you would none of my reproof. I will laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your fear cometh. And when your fear cometh as a desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, and when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall you call upon me, old Felix, then. But I'll not answer you, and then you'll seek me early, but you'll never find me. But my friends, I can't close this message without stating positively and definitely, according to the Word of God, there is a refuge. There is a hiding place. It's not under lies. It's not a refuge of lies. It's a refuge of truth. It's a refuge of God's grace and mercy in Christ Jesus. David said in the Psalms, Lord, if thou should charge iniquity, who's going to stand? But there's forgiveness with thee. God delights to show mercy today. God delights to show mercy today. Now is the accepted time. Today is the salvation. I never will forget what David Robinette said. And I preached up here some time ago. He'd been hearing Brother Tom, Brother me and others here. And he's sitting right there. And I talked about loving Christ, believing on Christ, trusting Christ. And David got up. Tom was sitting over here. David got up, walked over here, and sat beside Tom. And he said, I want to be baptized today. Tom said, we don't have any water in the pool. Well, he said, I'll wait. Fill the pool. So we went downstairs and had dinner. And while the pastor filled the pool, like the Ethiopian eunuch, he said, when he heard Paul preach, he said, here's water. What does hinder me to be baptized? Paul said, well, you can if you believe with all your heart. He said, I believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Fill the pool. And that's what we did then with David. Fill the pool. He didn't have a change of clothes. He had to go home, you know. But fill the pool. There, listen to me. There was a flood, but God provided an ark. There was a manslayer. But I tell you, that man to whom God provided the ark, he moved with fear. He moved! He started driving nails right then. And there was a manslayer, but there's a city of refuge. And the man ran to it. When the serpents had bitten the people, there was a remedy. But they'd better look. There was a thirst for water. But God smote a rock. That rock was Christ. And they drank. There was food in the wilderness. And God sent manna from heaven. There's a real, genuine, needy sinner. Maybe here tonight. Well, I'm telling you this. There's a Savior who delights to save. There's a Savior who delights to show mercy. That's right. So what am I going to do? I'm going to go to Jesus. I'm going to go to Jesus. Though all my sins hath like a mountain raised. And I'm going to say to him, Lord, I'm a wretch undone without your sovereign grace. And I can but perish if I go. But bless your heart, I'm resolved to try. For if I stay away, I know I'll forever die. Preach for a verdict. And I'll tell you this. If your tomorrows are all lived up, God have mercy. But he won't. Our Father, we thank you that there's a refuge. The Lord Jesus Christ has provided for us a refuge, a blessed hope, a living hope, an eternal hope in him. Take this message tonight. Whomever hears it, I pray that you'll bless it and make it real, understandable, and make it effectual to every heart. I pray for Christ's sake. Amen.